Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
All right, welcome to Cash Flows. I'm your host, Cash Matthews, and I am a happy person with high hopes. So welcome to our show today. We are here to explore some of those life questions about doing a little bit better. And those questions can come in the world of entrepreneurship or financial things or health-related things or relaxation. And we like to go out and bring people into our studio that are actually out in the world doing great things. You know, I got busted in the third grade for copying off of my neighbor, and my Aunt Dorothy, who also happened to be my teacher, was somewhat concerned about my behavior and kind of beat on me in front of the class and then said, why are you copying off of Joe Mark Cowden? And I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard. And the answer is, he's smarter than me. I thought that was, like, I couldn't believe she was asking it. But, so bad in the third grade, but great as an adult when you want to get some of your questions answered. You find somebody who's done what you want to do or has what you want to have, and you ask them, and you copy off of them. And so we bring successful people in that are actually out there doing something in spite of whatever limitations they might face. And we call that concept Fire, Aim, Ready. And that concept is very simple. It's about taking the next right action, not perfect action, just regular old boring action. And we think that's enough to kind of break through. So if you're one of those people that has felt stuck, I think you're going to love Cash Flows. And so for that purpose, we're glad that you're here. We have these wonderful, beautiful goals, and I believe that God's given us the ability to attain them. And with that, we're ready to get the show started. But before we do, let me introduce the executive producer of Cash Flows, Mr. Kenneth Bockham. Kenneth, hello.
Hello, how's it going?
What a tremendous day. Like, I know it can be cold outside and rainy and ugly, but, you know, we live in the greatest country in the world, and we live in the greatest city in the greatest country in the world, and I'm just having a good day. My wife brought some coffee over, and we actually have a coffee person in the studio. We'll introduce Linda here in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about coffee, but anyway, things are good.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's been a great day, great week so far, and I know in this show, we're always trying to impart some wisdom for all of our local business owners and entrepreneurs. And of course, the Tulsa Bong is not only sponsoring this show, but we're hosting our episodes on the TulsaBong.com website.
Right.
So what daily wisdom do we have today, Cash?
You know, one of the things that we've done great at the Bong event is we've sort of built a team environment where there are no losers and nobody sits on the bench. And everybody is involved. And I want to talk today, though, on a little smaller scale about building your team and building your people and building your resources, because none of us gets through this alone. We're going to talk to Linda Tucker with T3 Coffee Roasters about how she built a business and all the things they had to do. And I can assure you, if she had to name all of the people who helped out, I bet it's a pretty vast list.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But we're going to talk about building a team, and who is your team? As you begin to build your business, who's on your team? And there are multiple kinds of people in your life who are on your team. And the first kind of person on your team is just an unlimited supporter. You know, when I get stranded in business, one of the things I do, I've got a handful of people that I call just to make sure somebody likes me. And I don't mind telling them, hey, man, I'm getting ready to start a big day. It's a busy day. I've got a lot going on. I've got a lot of things I don't want to do. Do you like me? And I know that sounds crazy, but you're really just trying to find somebody to encourage you a little bit. The world can be so discouraging. So the first kind of person I want on my team is somebody who will encourage me. But courage only necessary where fear is present. Hmm. So I try to draw a subtle balance between the two, but I love to have somebody on my team. So the first person on my team is my spouse. And when I've got stuff going on, I turn to her. And a lot of people may not believe that their spouse is their best business partner. Maybe she's not active in the daily operations of the business, but I can assure you, having somebody to turn to before the day and after the day ends, that's life-affirming. But what about the other people on your team? This is where it can be a little dicey, because none of us really wants to go out and say, hey, what's wrong with me? And get an answer.
Right.
It's easy to ask that question. But you have to have some people in your world who will talk to you truthfully about what you need to improve. And that's a hard conversation. And if you learn how to figure out how to do it, I would love to hear about that. But you need to have, and I call that my board of directors. Now I have a board of directors group of about 20 people. Zero of those people know that they're on my board of directors. They're just people that I go to. And I say, hey, look, if you could change one thing about me, I need you to help me out here and don't nice me to death. What's something that you think I ought to change, something I ought to work on? And at first they'll be hesitant. Or when it bothers me is when they whip out a list and it's like 4 feet long. I'm like, oh, glad you asked. But I think we all need people who challenge us a little bit, not to demean us, not to hurt us, but to help us. You know, I tell my kids, God loves you just the way you are, but loves you too much to leave you that way. We need friends who love you just how you are, but are also so committed to your success, they're afraid to leave you that way. And often, those are the people who make the biggest difference in our life. Then finally, in the world of business, we need partners. I call them referral partners. Somebody who has your back, and their goal is to make you well off. Their goal is to help you be successful. And it's a rare thing when you are able to create a group of people that are actually referral partners. Usually they're in different industries than you, but it doesn't always have to be that way. But a referral partner is somebody, when there's a post on the Facebook, hey, who's your favorite photo video guy? And they line up and they talk about you and they put up your phone number and they put up a photograph of you and your website and how to contact you. And they message the people, hey, you got to talk to Kenneth. That's a referral partner. What about the people that just put your name online? Who do you want? Eh, Kenneth. Eh, that's nice. But we really need referral partners, people that will go the distance for us. I call those people my 4 a.m. club. 4 a.m. rolls around. This is a bad example because like you're leaving a club at 4 a.m. Like, I have done that zero times in my life. That would just be fake. But if something happens, you're driving around at 4 a.m. and your car's almost on empty and you've got a flat tire and you need help, who are you going to call? And I've got a list of those people in my phone that are the first people I would call just because I need help. And I know for a fact that they have my back and they know that I have theirs. The referral partner world is about you pledging to somebody else, I'm your person and I know you're mine. And when you build a team like that, and of course, we have to have CPAs and realtors and mortgage people and all of those things in our realm. But what would it be like if you sent 10 referrals to your mortgage person or to your realtor? What does that look like over the course of the next 3 years in terms of referrals back to you? Here's what I know. Let's take care of each other. Let's love one another. Jesus tells us the greatest of these commandments is love. And I think we can build a business on that concept.
Yeah.
All right. Well, are we ready to get on with our show?
I think so, but I got to say, for me, it's not a 4 a.m. club. It's more like a 10:30 p.m. club.
Yeah, because you're not out at 4 a.m.
Because I'm not out at 4 a.m.
I don't know that I've ever been out at 4 a.m. Actually, when I was a paper boy when I was 12, yeah. I had to load the papers up around 4.
I've been up that early, but really only to catch flights out of town for some reason or another.
Yeah, I don't stay up till 4 a.m.
Yep.
See, I've got the 2 a.m. club.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh. Yeah.
You have people that you would call?
Yeah.
All right.
And I have.
Good deal.
Especially as a mom with a young kid.
Yeah.
You're up when your kid's thrown up in the middle of the night and you're stuck there. You got those people you can call.
All right. Well, we have Linda Tucker here with us today, and she is the founder and operator of T3 Coffee Roasters, T3CoffeeCo.com. Did I say it right?
You did.
T3CoffeeCo.com. And we're going to talk to her about the coffee business. And so, Linda, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
We are very glad you're here. I have so many questions. And so first, we want to say thank you for being one of the sponsors of the Bong event.
Yes.
And we just get geeked out on your coffee and stay up till 3:59.
Yeah, that's right. Not quite 4 a.m., but pretty close.
And I know that you started a coffee thing and we had a grand opening and it was awesome.
It was amazing.
But before I understand that, I want to go back a little ways and find out what you were doing before you got into the coffee business. Tell us about Linda before T3.
So I've kind of had a pretty interesting journey. Coffee was never on my radar of list of things to do. It was always just kind of a pipe dream out there down the line that, you know, we dream about. But my background is actually in ministry and nonprofit.
Okay.
So I spent 20 years working in the church world. I've done youth ministry. I've done pastoring. I've done grief counseling. I've done chaplaincy. I've done community outreach, senior adult ministry. So just about every avenue in that. I've also worked for some other nonprofits around the Tulsa area.
Oh, cool.
Over the years. So, you know, that's kind of where my world is and my background is. And then my husband, Gary, his background is in oil and gas. So he has a degree and background in electrical engineering and physics and worked in oil and gas for 18 years.
Wow.
And so, so that's just kind of what we were doing, just living life and fell into coffee.
So you're doing your life kind of how you had it planned. When do you decide to open T3 Coffee Roasters? What's going on there?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So the way that all got started, I wasn't even a coffee drinker at the time when we started. I have never been a coffee drinker in my life.
Wow.
I was always told that coffee was an acquired taste. You just drink enough of it and you get used to it. There is some of that out there, depending on what you're drinking, and I just never saw a need for that in my life. Gary, on the other hand, he's loved coffee. He's drank it his whole life, but he still couldn't find that good cup of coffee, so he was kind of on that search.
Right.
So he learned from some friends how to home roast. So he actually started roasting on a cast iron skillet in our kitchen, got a couple green beans, really just to start making some coffee that he enjoyed.
The coffee beans were green, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, the coffee beans. So
can we stick to coffee here?
So coffee is actually the seed of a fruit. And when we get them, they're green, and then we roast them, and they turn brown.
Right.
And so, yeah, so he started roasting just kind of in our kitchen. We would, you know, have friends and family over. We'd share coffee with them. He'd take a couple beans to the office, share it with his coworkers. And next thing we know, people started asking us for coffee.
Wow.
So he actually built our very first roaster that we started our business on. And he built it in our garage with random parts that he just found laying around the house.
Right.
And we started our business on that. And really, at the time, the only intention was we were going to roast larger roasts so we could offer it to friends and family.
Right.
And so that's kind of what happened. And then we figured if we were going to start selling coffee, if money was going to start being exchanged, we needed to be legal.
Right.
We needed to do all those things. So we started our business, launched officially in February of 2020. And again, it was just as a side hobby, just to sell coffee to friends and family.
Right.
When the world shut down, all of a sudden everybody went home and our coworkers couldn't get coffee at the office anymore.
Right.
Nobody could get coffee at the office anymore.
Right. There was no office.
Everybody started drinking coffee at home. So we started getting phone calls from people wanting to pick up coffee from us. So we started roasting again just for local people. That year, we got involved in local farmers markets. Just as a way to be out in the world, be around people, be safe. Never actually thought that people would want to buy our coffee.
Right.
We just wanted to be around people. So we went out to the farmers markets, had a great time, made some great friends. At the end of that season, people started asking us, well, how are we going to get your coffee now that the market's over, now that you're not out here every week? And we said, oh, well, I guess we need a website.
Right.
So we started a website. Again, you know, it was our website was for the purpose of local people to be able to get coffee.
Right.
Still hadn't realized that we unintentionally built a customer base and had a great following. And so then that first holiday season, people started buying coffee not only for themselves, but for their friends and family and started gifting coffee. And so we saw an increase in sales. Come January, a lot of those people started coming back and we started seeing new customers and new orders. And so, so it just happened. It wasn't something that we went out and decided, you know, we didn't wake up one day and say, we're going to start a coffee business. It just kind of happened. It was just a divine.
And there it was.
And there it was.
So you didn't begin as a coffee shop. You just began as coffee roasters.
So, yes.
And you were still working out of your house at that point?
Yes. Yeah. So we started roasting. Like I said, started in our kitchen, moved out to our shop. We had an amazing opportunity. So, you know, one of the things I was telling somebody earlier is you don't think about coffee takes up a lot of space.
Right.
And, you know, as you start growing, you start getting the beans and beans start having a lot of weight to them. So, you know, there's those things you don't think about. So we started getting, you know, I remember the very first box of green coffee beans that we got. It was 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. And we just thought we were insane for getting 5 pounds of green coffee beans. And now we buy them by the pallet load.
Right.
I think we had 3 pallets delivered last week of
which
coffee.
Is how many pounds?
Oh, I don't know.
A bunch?
A lot. A couple tons.
Let's say you, math wizard.
Yeah, thousands probably.
Thousands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Wow.
It's a lot.
That is
so
phenomenal.
3 pallets, you could have had 3,000 or 6,000 pounds there. Wow.
That is awesome.
That's a lot.
So, well, where does the name T3 come from?
So we are a family-owned business. So we are the Tuckers.
Right.
And there's 3 of us.
Right.
It's me and my husband and our daughter.
Right.
And so so we literally are the face of our business, and we are a family business. It started with the 3 of us. Even my daughter, from the time that we started this, she has a job and she has a role and responsibilities to play in it. And so it's just something that we were able to do together. Like I said, during those COVID years, it was something that brought us together as a family.
Sure. Well, how old is your daughter?
She's 8.
Oh, does she have entrepreneurial qualities at this point where she's kind of a take charge person?
She absolutely does.
I think that's so cool. To me, that's the best education that you can give.
It is.
Allow a child to have is just the ability to see what their parents do and to come alongside them and work.
Oh, yes. And she has some killer negotiating skills. I will tell you, she can out negotiate me. She negotiates her salary. She went on strike for 4 days. At one point.
What a great idea.
Wow.
Yeah, she went on strike for 4 days because she was negotiating her salary and told her exact words to us is that she was worth more than we were paying her. And I really don't know how you can argue with that. So,
wow.
You know, we made that happen for her. She has her own little side hustle. She will upsell. She knows how to upsell the best of the best on coffee.
Okay. Well, so I know you opened up the... You opened up your coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
and that was a giant endeavor.
It was.
And a lot of us were watching and rooting for you, and we were so thankful to be able to come to the grand opening.
Yes.
What kind of challenges have you had through this process?
Well, so it's been a big undertaking. So, like I said, we started in our home, ran out of space really quickly, and
yeah,
so we needed a new space, and so we were very fortunate to be able to find this building. We're located in Collinsville, and when we took over the building, you know, it's one of those things. We go back now and look at pictures of what the building looked like when we took it over.
Right.
The building was in bad shape. It was falling down very literally. The bricks were falling out of the walls. It just wasn't very stable. It took us 2 years to renovate that building. We did a full historical preservation on the building, which is another step of just going in and renovating. And so, but from the very first time, I remember the first time that I stepped foot in that building and we didn't see what was in front of us. We saw the potential and we saw what it could be and we saw what it looks like today when you walk in. And so we, you know, worked it all out, got the building, and we very ambitiously thought that it would be a 4 to 6 month project.
Right. and it was 2 years.
It was 25 months from start to finish.
Wow.
And so, you know, there were so many times during those 2 years, you know, we think about it now and when you're in the middle of it, you don't think it's ever going to end. And there's so many times where you just want to give up. You just want to stop. You question yourself. Why are we doing this?
Right.
And then we get down the road, we get open, we're on the other side of it. And we're like, man, that was only 2 years. Like that went by so fast.
Well, so you've been open now a month?
Almost a month.
Almost a month in. How's the first whatever month been?
It has been the longest but most fun month of my life. It feels like we've been doing this forever. It really doesn't feel like it's just been a month.
Well, it's just an extension of the roasting business.
It is. So we've been roasting for 4 years. So we were able to move our entire roastery over there. We're able to have that. And this is just kind of our bonus to be able to have a space in the community. One of the things that we really wanted to offer with our space is we just saw a need in the community for people to come in and just sit down and gather. Just have a warm drink with your friends, just have a place to come and hang out. And so that's what we wanted to be able to offer.
That's one of my highest ideals, hang out with your friends.
Yeah, yeah. And so
it's not giant and it's not about flashy or fancy. It's just go hang out with your friends. And for me, that really seems to work.
Yeah, now I get to do that every day in this space. So it's a lot of fun.
So you're all involved in the project and it's going well, but I know you're busy. But I also know you have a life outside of work. And I want to talk about that for a second, because one of the things entrepreneurs have, Kenneth, is we get so laser focused on a thing that we forget some of the other things that are great in our life as well. How have you guys managed to keep a balance in your life where you're not just coffee?
Well, you know, like you said earlier at the beginning, you know, having those partners, and Gary and I do this together. Like I said, it's right. It's a family business. And so, you know, there's times where we did a lot of the work ourselves in our building. And so there's a lot of times where we have to balance that out and say, hey, you know, you're working late at the building tonight. I'm taking care of things at the house, or vice versa. But also having our priorities at the beginning. So right. Even through this whole thing, you know, our daughter is number one in our life. She plays softball. We have never missed a softball game. Over Christmas, you know, we were open during the holidays, and we said, you know what, we've all made a lot of sacrifices. We need to close our doors.
Right.
We need to take some time off, and we need to spend some time as a family. And so being able to have those supporters around us, right. Like I said, Gary and I doing this together, I can't imagine doing it with anybody else.
Right.
But then also having a great support system around us, like you said, kind of like your board of directors, people that are looking from the outside and saying, hey, look, you guys need to take a break, or hey, let us take Maddie for the night. You guys go out, get some rest, right. You know, do something.
And
like you said, we're not doing this alone.
Right.
But that we have a lot of people kind of helping us with those checks and balances to make sure that we're.
I'm glad to hear that, because that's system where people are watching for you,
mm-hmm.
and you know they're looking after your most precious assets, which are your lives, and that and then your community in Collinsville seems to have taken to you guys, and mm-hmm. so you literally have an entire community kind of pulling for you.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So in all of this and all the things you've done, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
So one of the best pieces of advice that is now just now coming to fruition for us, but that has really stuck in my head as we were preparing for this over the years. Like I said, it started with just the three of us. We haven't had staff and team members and all of that kind of stuff. And it's, I say, it is hard to bring people alongside of you and to let go of parts right. of your business, especially when it's your business. And so something that somebody told me that stuck is they said, find a team that can do your job better than you can. And, you know, that kind of stuck with me. It's just one of those things, you know, I've kind of been pondering on and thinking about. But now that we're to the point where we are hiring staff and building a team, man, we are finding some amazing people.
Yeah.
And we are able to recognize our weaknesses. Because we do have limitations. Like, this is our business. This is our baby. We built it from the ground up. But right. at the same time, we can't do it ourselves. And then finding people that are able to pick up the slack where we can't, and vice versa. Today we were in the shop. We were a little bit slow, so we were dreaming up new drinks and new creations for, you know, Valentine's Day. What is our sweetheart latte going to look like, and ooh. What it's going to taste like, and things like that. You know, having them help with social media and different things like that. We really are building our dream team, and it's really great to be able to see that. It is hard to let go of parts of our business, but at the same time, having the trust in the team that we're building, that they are going to take that and do even greater things than I can do with it.
So before we break for an ad, which is next, we had a call-in person a minute ago. Kenneth took the call. They wanted to know, will this ever be called T4 Coffee?
It will never be called okay. T4 Coffee.
I don't know who the caller was, but thank you, Kenneth,
yeah, yeah.
for that.
Anonymous caller.
Well, and with that, we're going to go and have a commercial break. Kenneth, who are we talking about today?
All right. Well, today we're going to talk about My Financial Plan. With My Financial Plan, you can keep everything you own in one secure, accessible place. See everything you own and know what everything is worth. Benefits include a personal financial website with daily balances and budgeting tools. It's accessible anytime, and you can get it for yourself at joinmfp.com.
Well, thank you very much, sir. That's actually a company that I started.
Yeah.
And something we're very proud of.
Yes, that's
awesome. Joinmfp.com if you're working on financial things. That's a good place to get started. We are here today with Linda Tucker with T3 Coffee, t3coffeeco.com, located in Collinsville. And they began as coffee roasters because that's how it just started, roasting coffee in a pan over your oven.
Yeah.
What a cool story.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I had a cool story like that.
I'm kind of wishing I had a handful of green beans now, you know, the coffee beans, to do in a skillet now, because I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know where you can get some.
Yeah, well, that's true. That is true.
I know somebody that has 6,000 pounds in
there. Yeah, right? Would you like a pallet full?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about the development, first, of an idea. You've done many other things. You've worked in ministry. You've worked with people. You've worked as a counselor. And all of a sudden, you're in the coffee business. Like, I mean, it's really a fascinating story, and it's so fun to watch it evolve. So how do you move your person? How do you blend your personality into your business and all the things that you're doing? Because you yourself have a unique personality. And but, you know, how do you show that through your business?
So, you know, it's been very interesting. Because over the years, you know, your life takes very unexpected twists and turns. But at the same time, it's really cool to see how every season of our life, I've learned something that I can bring to what I'm doing now. And we kind of have this saying where we do it T3. We're doing this our way.
Right.
We're taking the lessons that we've learned over the course of our life, and we're making this ours. And so when we were, you know, going through this process and opening things up, we would get the question all the time where people would say, well, are you doing this like so-and-so? Insert any coffee shop. Are you going to be like this? Are you going to be like this? And we said, no, we're going to be like T3.
Right.
We're going to do it our way. We had a dream and we had a vision, and we just held fast to that.
Right. So your own uniqueness always sets you apart. And Kenneth, I think that's one of the things that people – maybe they miss out on in life, is that their goal, their dream, whatever unique it is, it's sufficient. And you don't have to copy somebody else.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that's beautiful. Well, what would you say to other entrepreneurs then that are, you know, kind of going through the same thing? I mean, it's okay, right?
Yeah. I just be yourself. You know, there's something there's only so many ways you could brew coffee, right? I mean, there's something about not reinventing the wheel. Sometimes sure. There's a purpose for that. And like you said, there's an opportunity for us to learn from other people and learn from their successes and their mistakes. But at the same time, be you, because you're the only one that has those experiences and can bring those things to the table. And you know, I believe that every single person has a story to tell and something to bring to the table. And don't be afraid of that. It's so easy to compare yourself. I mean, I'm so guilty of it, you know, comparing yourself to other people.
Well, but... and you get that a lot. You other operations, because most people, hey, are you like Starbucks? Are you like this place?
Yeah.
And no, we're like T3.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. So what, tell us something that the listening world would be surprised to know about you. This is one of my favorite questions.
So I think something that surprises a lot of people is I am a want-to-be adrenaline junkie.
Oh, okay.
So in our previous life before children, I was a biker babe.
Like motorcycles?
Motorcycles. Yeah. I've got my motorcycle license. I have traveled the country on a motorcycle, been to some amazing places, had some amazing experiences. And then this past year, I guess my biggest adrenaline rush is I went skydiving this year, which was something I didn't know that I wanted to do until I was given the opportunity to do it. And it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life.
I don't have words.
Yeah.
So your first jump was like a tandem kind of jump? Is that how they do it?
It was a tandem jump, yes.
Right.
So it was really funny. It was a gift. It was my birthday gift from Gary, and said it was something that I didn't even realize that I wanted at the time. He evidently has a memory of like 8 years ago, I made a comment of, if I ever went skydiving, doing it on a significant birthday would be a great time to do it. And so when that birthday came along, he remembered that, which he doesn't remember much that I say, but somehow he remembered that. And so for my birthday, he gifted me an experience to strap myself onto another man and jump out of an airplane while he sat at the ground and watched it all happen.
So he doesn't jump?
He doesn't, no.
Okay, how many times have you done it?
I've just done it once.
The one time?
I just did it the one time. So far, I would not be opposed to doing it again.
Right. So did you video the first one?
Yes, we've got the whole thing.
I think we may need to see that on the Facebook.
We can play that right now.
Surprise!
So how high do you jump from?
I think it was like 2 miles.
Oh, so that's what, 9,000 feet?
Yeah, or somewhere between like 10 and 12,000 maybe.
Okay. Yeah, something like that,
And that first minute you fall out of the plane, like, I think about it, and I've had dreams about it, but those aren't good dreams.
So... as I was preparing for this experience, so I'll say this, my birthday, it took me 9 months from the time I was actually gifted it to work up the nerve and get over the fear to actually do it. And I'm a firm believer that fear holds us back from doing lot of things in our life. And the anticipation is worse than the actual experience.
Than the actual event.
And so, you know, it took me a while to work up the nerve, but all I remember, so we're going up in the plane, and the guy kept saying to me, because you're up in this plane, this tiny little plane, it seats like four people, and then they open the door, and you have to step out on this ledge. So you have to stand outside of the plane. So you're standing there, and he says, okay, we're going to say 1, 2, 3, and then we're going to jump, and I don't remember hearing a thing. It's on the video, so I guess he said it. But I just know that one minute I was standing there, and the next minute I wasn't. But it's such an interesting experience because it doesn't make sense in your brain. It didn't feel like I was falling.
Right.
Because the ground really wasn't getting any closer. And so, it's just a sensation that you've never experienced before.
Wow.
And then by the time... my brain actually computed as to what was happening and that I actually did exit an airplane. I didn't actually jump. The guy I was strapped to jumped, and I just went along for the ride.
Yeah,
it was easy for me.
You're Velcroed to him or however that works.
Yeah, it was pretty easy. I didn't have to do a thing. I just had to show up, and it was all done for me. But by the time your brain realizes what's actually happened and you really start enjoying it, then the parachute comes out.
And then you just
glide on down.
To the ground.
Yeah, wow. I could have actually kept falling a little bit longer if they would have let me.
Would you do it?
I would think about it pretty strongly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been on the fence about jumping out of a perfectly good airplane for a long time.
Right.
I actually got to watch her jump out of this one. I was like, okay,
you were
actually,
there.
That does kind of look fun.
Wait, what? You were there?
I took the camera in a long lens.
Yeah.
She's 2 miles up and I had a photo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want no part of that.
So they jump directly over the airport that they're going to land at with their parachute. So I'm like literally laying on my back with the full weight of my camera resting on my eye to get this photo.
And you got some cool shots of it.
Thank you.
Wow.
It was fun.
So you guys have worked together before. That's awesome.
We worked together this morning.
What?
Well, that's true too.
All right. And you're out there, man. That's awesome. All right. So do you dream about it? Like, have you had a dream about that experience?
Yeah.
Because
about doing it again.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I dream about it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's...
But I will tell you, the dreams that I had before I did it are not the same as when you actually experienced it.
Yeah, right.
Your brain's rewired now.
I'll also tell you, I was the youngest person jumping that day, too.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, very well. So we're going to wrap up here. We're going to ask you another coffee question. Then we want to get a business tip from you that our listeners can enjoy. So what coffee inspires you, right?
It does.
How does that work? How does coffee inspire you? I love coffee. I love smelling it and holding it and drinking it and doing it with people. What about it inspires you?
So the people and the relationships that coffee brings,
right,
is what inspires me. You know, I started off in the beginning saying that I didn't drink coffee, but at the same time, when I look back on my life, the coffee shop was always a staple, right, in my life.
Right.
When I was in high school, we would go hang out at the local Starbucks, you know, after school on Saturday nights. That's where we'd hang out. In college, that's where we would go and have study dates and first dates and all of that stuff. I've been asked to be a maid of honor at my friend's weddings at a coffee shop.
Wow.
After, you know, I entered this season of life with children, that's where we would go with our babies and go and visit and you know, experience each other's babies and just live life together. I've grieved with people over significant losses over a cup of coffee.
Right.
That's always been a staple in my life. But, you know, not only the relationships here locally, but also the relationships globally. So one
right.
of the things that's really cool about our coffee is we know where all of our coffee beans come from.
Right.
Coffee is a crop. Somebody had to grow that. It
right.
doesn't just magically show up on the shelf. And so, you know, I like to think about all of the hands that have touched your coffee before it ends up in your cup. Just from the farmers and the producers and, you know, the roasters, and there's just the baristas. There's so much
right.
In that chain. And it really is a chain of people helping people when it's done correctly. And so one of the tagline of our business is local coffee, global impact. And that's something we get asked all the time is, what does that mean? Well, we get to make an impact locally with people.
For sure.
Enjoying a cup of coffee together now, giving them the space to do that. But then also we get to make an impact globally with our farmers and having an impact on their communities and their families as well.
Yeah, you're having an impact around the world.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Coffee, it's a latte to think about. Yes, no?
Hang on.
There. Okay, we got
it.
We got the win there. We are here today with Linda Tucker, T3 Coffee Roasters, t3coffeeco.com. Linda, let's have a nugget of wisdom for the entrepreneurs watching today.
So my nugget of wisdom is, leave room for grace. Nothing is going to go exactly how you want it to go. You're going to have those amazing days and you're going to have those tough days, and leave room for grace.
I think that's good advice for a business owner and a husband.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's room for everybody to enjoy that. So thank you for that. Kenneth, you ready to wrap this one up?
Yeah,
what
let's
a
do
great
it.
Show!
Oh yeah,
yeah. Talking about coffee,
my favorite subject.
Yeah, it's definitely one of mine. I mean,
mine too.
You've got one, I've got one. I'm not going to say where we got ours because mine just showed up in my office from somebody very kind, but I'm thankful for it as well. So, well, that'll be a wrap for today's show. We want to thank Linda Tucker with T3 Coffee Roasters, t3coffeeco.com, and you know you can go find them downtown Collinsville. And I think we're having an event there very soon. We can't wait to bring the world up there. So as we go out in the world today, you know, yeah, business is hard, life is hard, but, you know, you can take these tips that you get and begin to move forward. You can take those steps that are necessary to accomplish your own goal and your own dream, just like you guys did. And that's such a beautiful story. So today, maybe just for today, be nice to each other. Forgive one another. In fact, today would be the best day ever to forgive somebody who absolutely does not deserve it, because forgiveness is not about that other person. It is about you and letting go. And sometimes we have to let go of those things that hold us down, and forgiveness, I mean, we've all been shown grace. And what a great message we have today from Linda talking about grace. So thank you guys for being here. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to our friends who continue to like us on the Facebook, the Instagram, and on MySpace. Tom, you're out there. You're still my friend. We appreciate you. Folks, this show, it's about you, and we're glad you're here. Thanks for coming by Cash Flows.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.